Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor from South Louisiana in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to add massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and agents from around the South. My goal is that you take a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. I'm so excited to welcome Andrew DiDomenico from the South Florida area, Boca Raton, Florida, and he also sells real estate in New York City. I'm so excited to welcome my friend to the podcast, and hopefully we can get some knowledge and some value and some insight on what it's like to sell real estate in two totally different environments. So Andrew, welcome to the podcast, my brother.
So happy to be here. Thank you for having me, Jamie. I appreciate it.
We've got our eyes closed, man. Like, what is it like to be selling real estate? Let's start with South Florida. Tell us what it's like to be selling real estate in one of the most desirable areas in the United States.
I mean, it's a very interesting place. I mean, Boca Raton in particular, it's one of those places that kind of, it's a bubble. You get to Boca Raton and you're like, is this a real place? And I wake up every day and I think about the fact that I get to live and work in a place that a lot of people come to vacation. So I'm very grateful for that. And in doing that, we get to see some amazing homes and amazing condos on the beachfront and on the ocean and the intracoastal. And so we get exposure to some things that we see in movies and television. And I really love it. So I get to interact with all walks of life, from people that live here full time to people that are visiting, that come on vacation, that wind up saying, well, why don't I live here? Why am I going back to this cold environment? And next thing you know, they came for a weekend and they wind up moving here. So it's a very exciting place, and you get to meet a lot of different types of people. Very different than the environment that I work in New York. Like you said, I'm an agent there as well. So I enjoy both markets, but I do call South Florida home now, and I'm happy to do that.
Yeah. Well, tell us about New York City, right? And what areas of New York that you serve? And just give us a little bit of maybe insight on the differences between those two markets and selling in those two different markets. Like, what are the differences?
Kind of thing. So I started my career in New York City, came up in that market right after the financial crisis in 2008. So I've seen the market in New York change from buyer's markets to seller's markets to a lot of different scenarios. And it's a very different world in New York than South Florida. In New York, you're seen as an advisor the same way you would be seen as a financial advisor or an accountant or anything like that. The career status of a real estate agent in New York is taken very seriously. You have a lot of agents there, and there's plenty to go around to all these agents. So there's never a lack of work. It's just really being able to go out and get it. And I serviced Manhattan, Brooklyn, parts of Westchester as well, which is just a suburb right outside of New York City. So I enjoyed that for many years, but having kids led me to explore the South Florida market a bit more and ultimately make the move down there. But I still frequently go back and forth to New York. I built a good base of clients there, and I like to go up at least once a month to deal with those clients and make sure that they know that I'm still in front of them and able to cater to their needs. So I enjoy both markets very much.
Gotcha. Very interesting. Yeah. So I guess you had talked to me a little bit about how you take care of your past clients and what's important to you in your real estate business. So I guess go there, because you've been able to build a great business, repeat clients, past clients, really loving on your people. So I guess go there for us and talk to a little bit about how you're building a business in two different states, but what you're doing with your past clients to stay top of mind in both states.
I think that's the most important part of this business. You get agents that come into this business and see dollar signs. And I mean, listen, we sell very large products. So the paychecks for these products can be great, but it can't be treated as a transactional business. And the second you do that, you lose that relationship with your clients. So as somebody, for somebody that's purchasing real estate, that's one of the largest transactions they'll make in their life. And there's a lot of trust that goes into that. And it's not just trusting you to find the right home for them. It's trusting you in everything. A lot of times people are moving from other markets where they don't know anybody, they don't know any resources. So they're going to need help finding schools, finding daycares, finding contractors. And it has to be people that they can trust. I mean, they're sending their kids to places. They're trusting somebody to come in their house and build things for them. So building the relationship through giving these referrals and giving these resources is a first step in doing that. But it's also in maintaining a relationship with these clients after the closing. So yes, you've gotten your paycheck, you've sold the home. A lot of people will just go on their way and move on to the next client, but it's following up with those clients and checking in. How's the house? How are the kids? Is there anything I can do? Stopping by, bringing them something for the new house, and just showing them that you care. A lot of clients that I've had over the years are lifelong friends of mine now. I've had early clients in my career that came to my wedding, and they're people that send me Christmas cards every year. And so for them to do that, that means that they're thinking about me every year and they expect the same from me. So I need to be thinking about them and not just looking at the dollar signs that are associated with that.
Yeah, for sure, man. We were going over some things in our group trainings and stuff, and I'm like, man, imagine that you went through this crazy, amazing life experience with somebody, and then you just never contacted them again.
Yeah.
You never called them again. Like, wouldn't that be the craziest thing, that you just had this great experience with somebody and then that agent never called them again? So it's just weird to me how agents can like have a great experience and then never call them. I'm like, man, come on, dude. You gotta yeah. do better.
And one way you can see that is when you look at listings that come up. If you look at a new listing that's listed and it's not by the person that sold that person the home, you right. know that there was a misstep there. So if the person that sold them the home is not listing the home, they missed something. There was a loss in that relationship somewhere along the way. And every home that you sell to a buyer, eventually they're going to sell it, and you should be the one that sells it. And the only way to do that is to stay top of mind with those people, make sure that you're checking in with them, and turn them into friends. So
yeah,
that's absolutely. Something that I pride myself on.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that. So in what ways are you doing that? Like, how are you scheduling that in your calendar? Are you setting that up on a CRM, adding it to a calendar? In what ways are you kind of actually taking action on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think once you close a sale in your CRM, you need to be putting notes and reminders in there to check in with somebody, whether it's once every 2 months or every 3 months. Make sure that you know when their birthdays are and you're sending them a little message, whether it's a text message or a card via email, just so they know that you're still thinking about them. Because eventually, like I said, they're going to go to sell their home, or they're going to have a friend that they're talking to that says they're looking for a home. And the first person they're going to think of is you. And in terms of setting it up, I mean, it's simple. When you go through the process of closing out a sale, you just have to make those notes in there and set the reminders. I mean, we've come a long way with technology. Our CRMs are very intuitive. We can set updates and drip campaigns. I mean, listen, it doesn't have to be super personal. It's just being top of mind, knowing that you're touching them every few months or every couple of months. That's really all it takes. I mean, you don't have to drop a gift basket off at these people's house every month. It's just about staying top of mind.
Right. And you're doing that in what way would you say probably is your primary way of keeping in touch with them? What's your favorite way to keep in touch with them?
So I send out monthly newsletters. I like to keep people informed, whether it's my South Florida newsletter or my New York newsletter. I like to keep people informed with events that are going on in the community, market updates, things that are going on in my life and my business, just so people know that you're real and that you're there. So I put together a monthly newsletter. I make sure it goes out on the first or second of every month, and that touches everybody in my CRM, not just closed clients, but everybody. I mean, maybe it's somebody I haven't spoken to in 10 years, but all of a sudden they see this newsletter and they're like, oh, hey, I remember Andrew. Let me give him a call. I was thinking about buying something this year. And listen, you may not get every listing, or you may not get every buyer to come back, but at least they're thinking about you. So I think that's one of the best ways is newsletters.
Yeah, absolutely. I use a weekly email myself. It's one of the best things that I've done in my business. And I always say, what are you doing consistently to generate consistent business? And if you're not doing things weekly to generate weekly, you know, consistent business, or, you know, like you said, even for you, or even monthly, whatever it is, but you're not doing the things consistently to get consistent business, then you can't expect to have consistent business. It's just kind of the way it is, right?
Yep.
So I love that you're doing the newsletter, because that's a great way to blanket and really hit everybody. I also, another thing that I like to do in my business too, is I like to use MLS as a tool. And MLS is a great tool that we can have, and we can set up these sellers or these past clients with, hey, homes in your neighborhood, just track your value, just so you can track your value. So that's one thing that we use in our business, and that sends them an email with a new property in their neighborhood every time something sells in the neighborhood. And I think that's a great way to tailor make the content to them and make it specific about them. But I guess speak to a little bit to, like, are you trying to identify certain things about these people that you can have a deeper connection with, or anything like that in those CRMs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sales 101, is finding a connection with somebody. As soon as you meet somebody, you need to establish that common ground. They feel more comfortable. You feel more comfortable. It just makes you able to go into each interaction without feeling like you're just selling them something. So yeah, I think that from step one of meeting somebody or having that conversation, it's important to really get to know them. If I'm referred a client and I have that initial call with them, before we get into anything on what they're looking for or what I can help them with, I just want to break it down and be real person. I think social media has helped with that a lot as well. I think people see us in a new light now, because they can see not just us doing podcasts like this or talking about real estate that we've sold, but they see you on a personal level. So I think that breaks down a lot of the barriers also. I would say most clients that we deal with, once you have that initial interaction, they're probably going to look you up. They're going to look at your LinkedIn, or they're going to look at your Instagram or your Facebook, and they want to know who you are. So putting out that real persona is really important in establishing that common ground, because after that initial interaction, maybe they looked at your Instagram page and they say, oh, hey, my son also plays in that little league, or I go to that beach club, or I do something like that. So there's that common ground that they find that way as well. So I think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Even when we jumped on the podcast just now, he's like, hey, man, I saw your story. You were, you know, your son was helping you clean up your truck or whatever. Yeah. And we chatted about kids, and, you know, we have that in common, right? We both have, you know, kids and at different ages, and we gave each other a little encouragement about that, right? Because obviously that's something that we're passionate about, is raising kids and giving them, you know, a better life than even we had growing up, you know?
Yeah.
So that was awesome. But, you know, social media, like, you're right. Absolutely. Like, it gives you both, right? It gives you a chance as an agent to say, hey, here's what my life is all about. Here's what's important to me, and what I put out is people are watching. But also on the flip side of that, it allows you as an agent to go on their social media and then have a reason that you can reach out and say, hey, I noticed you had this, or I noticed, I'm sorry, your grandfather passed away, or whatever. It gives you a chance to, like, really make a connection and meet them where they are. Which I kind of love social media. Social media is a kind of a cheat code, but I'm always cautious of agents and saying, like, be on social media, but do it in the way that it's going to really make a difference for your past clients. Like, that's your perfect avatar that you're speaking to, is you're speaking to your past clients, and not just like, I'm on social media scrolling TikTok videos and just mindless.
Right.
Kind of things. So right. I guess on that social media topic too, let's jump there, because you do a lot of stuff on social media. I follow you on social media. I will definitely put your contact information so people can go follow you on social media as well in the details of the podcast. So, but talk about what you're doing on social media to grow your real estate business. What type of things are you putting out? What's important to you as far as is that strategic and everything else? So talk to us a little bit about what you're doing on social media and maybe what's working and what's not.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think that it's a multi-part scenario with social media. Of course, we're in real estate. We want to present real estate. We want to show people what we're selling. And everybody likes to feel good about what they've done. If you've closed a sale, you want to show people that you've closed that sale, especially if it's a big one. But after a while, people feel like, hey, where's the real side of this person? So as much as I would love to just post closed sales all the time and brag about the money that comes in and all of these things, it's just not real. So for people to see the inside of your life and interacting with kids, or I coach my son's baseball and football team, and it allows them to see that real side of me. And that, I think, has been the cheat code for me in growing following and getting interaction from people. And once I started balancing my content, I really started getting a lot more interaction of people saying, hey, this is great. I'm really enjoying what you're putting out. There's so many agents out there that are just putting out pictures of homes or people walking through homes or condos. And it's kind of boring because you could see that anywhere. People love reality. People love reality TV. So when you can put that to real life and create a reality TV scenario for yourself, I think that that really hooks a lot of people in, makes people want to watch you more. And they're always waiting for what the next thing is. So I would say be as real as possible. Show all parts of your life. For me, it's not just real estate, like I said. I'm a big advocate of wellness. I'm a big advocate of spending time with my family. When I realized that life was about balancing and not just being addicted to work all the time, everything changed for me. I was able to relax a bit more and focus on my family, but it allowed me to focus more on work and doing that. Even though I was taking time to do some of these things and coach teams and all of that, it made me better at work because I had more to talk about. I had more ease in my life as opposed to just always feeling like on edge, work, work, work all the time. So I think that's a huge part of creating content and creating a larger following.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any kind of mix that you think about in your social media? Like, I hear people talk about like a 50-50 mix, a 50-50 mix of life versus real estate. Or is there any kind of strategy or thought behind the mix of the content that you're putting out? Or is there any kind of intentionality to like that particular mix? And if so, what would be kind of a good example of your mix that you're trying to put out?
Sure. I mean, for me, I like to schedule things. So as much as what I put out is real content and it's real time stuff, I like to know what I'm going to do for that week. So I have a calendar for the month that spells out if I'm posting 4 days a week or 5 days a week, I know that of those 5 days, at least two of those days are going to be personal content. It's going to be me interacting with my family. Two of those days are going to be real estate content. And then I'm going to mix in some of that wellness stuff as well. And it really rounds out your content and appeals to all people. Even though people are focused on real estate or focused on wellness or family interaction, you have to have a little bit of all of it in order to touch everyone. Because as your following grows, you're pulling people from a lot of different places. It's not just you're pulling in real estate people or wellness people. So if you're not consistent with that, you're going to have people drop off and say, well, why would I want to follow this anymore? It doesn't appeal to me. So like I said, if I'm posting 4 days a week, 5 days a week, it needs to be split 2 days for this, 2 days for that, a day for that. And I think scheduling that and making like an Excel spreadsheet or something that shows Monday is this, Wednesday is this, Friday is this, and just have a broad outline of what you're going to do. You don't need to know exactly what the content is going to be that day, but just know what the broad strokes of it are so that you wake up that day and you know, okay, today I'm going to shoot XYZ, or I'm going to shoot from this house today, or I'm going to shoot myself in the gym today. The worst thing you could do is just not knowing what you're going to do that day. And then you start to get anxiety about it, and then you put it off. And then you're, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And then you wind up missing a week or 2 weeks. Consistency is key with social media. And that's where I've had the most success. I think you have a lot of success with that as well. I think you're pretty consistent with your posts, and it allows people to really engage with you a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. And two, I would say, like, also, like, I've heard using stories as a kind of a tool to like build relational sides of things, whereas your reels and your posts and everything else in your feed are more of like you said, like the balanced life thing, but the stories are your chance to kind of, hey, here's a me and my family are at the beach playing volleyball, or here's me on the sidelines coaching my son's football team, or here's, you know, me and my daughter walking at a park. Do you use any of that as far as stories versus reels, or what do you, is there a mix in there also when it comes to those two kind of strategies?
Yeah, when I'm creating that schedule for the month or for the week, the stories are bonuses, I think. So I think that when you're creating the schedule, you need to have your reels and your carousels all planned out. The stories should be sporadic and they should be like off the cuff.
Love that.
So like you said, I got home, I'm gonna wash the car with my son today. I'm gonna post it. I'm gonna do a quick story about it. And it's real life and it's real time. And I think that that's a lot more engaging, like you said. The reels and things, of course, they're more planned out. They have to be. It's more production. A story, most of the people that follow feel that the story is real time and real life. So it just ties in everything with that.
Yeah, I love that game plan, actually. And I'm kind of starting to do a little bit more and kind of spread my wings in that. For me, Instagram has been a daily reel, daily reel, daily reel has been my consistent thing that I've been doing. And that's been great. It's connected people like us together, even, you know, just from different states, but just putting out good energy in the world. And when you put out good energy in the world, you tend to attract good energy and you tend to attract people who are similar mindset and similar ages and similar paths and goals and dreams and all those things. So I just love that we connected even just on that, but just trying to put out good energy in the world, you know?
100%. I mean, I'm a firm believer in who you surround yourself with is going to determine your future and how successful you are. And surrounding yourself with good energy is the key to that. I try to remove all negative things from my life. I mean, listen, it's hard. We live in a crazy world. There's crazy stuff happening every day. But being able to, when you get home at the end of the day, just really shut down and get good energy and have these types of conversations, I think everybody needs that in their life.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm a big power of positive thinking guy. I love listening to the original audio of that book. And if you don't, you can download it on Audible and listen to the original audio, like recorded like in the 50s or something. The guy's voice is so calm and soothing. And every time I'm kind of in a funk, I just like put it on in my truck and listen to Power of Positive Thinking. And it just puts you in the framework of, man, like you're going to get what you see. You're going to either find the negative or you're going to find the positive. There's one or the other that you're going to find. And it's very easy to find the negative because there's enough people putting out negative energy in the world. And I'm like, I'm not into that. 100%. So, well, look, talk to us, I guess, a little bit about South Florida, because I want to kind of see what the climate is like in South Florida. Is it people who are, you know, are you seeing a lot more people moving into that area? Are you seeing more people who are moving out of that area? Like, what's the growth? Talk to us a little bit about the market conditions, I guess, and the opportunities that are in South Florida. And yeah, I'd just love to hear your insight on it for sure.
So South Florida has always been a destination for people. COVID changed South Florida completely, though. Obviously, when COVID happened, Florida was one of those places that people started flocking to, and it changed the real estate landscape. It changed the prices. It changed everything in South Florida. So as somebody who grew up in South Florida, I was of the mindset, this is for retirees. I couldn't wait to get out, which is what led me to New York eventually. In being back here now, I've really realized that South Florida is one of the new hubs of the country for technology, for finance, for hospitality. There's so many things that are drawing people to South Florida. And right now in particular, we've seen high-speed trains that have come in. Virgin put out a high-speed train that is now called the Bright Line. It connects from Miami to Orlando, Orlando being the newest destination. So you could get from Miami to Orlando in right around 3 hours on this high-speed luxury train. You have hedge funds that have come in and set up shop down in Brickell in Miami. They're calling it Wall Street South. So Palm Beach is seeing tremendous growth through Related Group and building condos and retail and commercial space. So the money that's flooding into the South Florida market is tremendous right now. Yes, the prices have come up quite a bit in South Florida. So we're definitely seeing higher prices in Miami. At the current moment, we're seeing some increases in inventory. That's based on global finances. Overall, South Florida has continued to see a surge of people coming to the area from California, from Canada, from Chicago, from all over the country. As somebody who grew up in South Florida, I never saw people from California move here. Now they're coming here in droves. So it's a beautiful climate. I mean, the summer is a little bit shaky, but it's a beautiful climate overall. And you get a different way of living. You can play sports year-round if you have kids. The schools are excellent. So that's a big draw now. Yes, we've definitely seen some pullback in some markets. The West Coast of Florida has seen a little bit of pullback from prices rising. But places like Boca Raton, I don't want to say anybody's immune from anything, but places like Boca Raton are somewhat insulated from anything that goes on in the country because you have such a high net worth of buyers and sellers here that are really keeping it from seeing any particular downturns based on any global finances. So we're continuing to stay busy here. Inventory levels are still relatively low and prices have not really pulled back too much. So I'm excited to see what happens over the next few years. If interest rates come down a bit, it's going to definitely increase the activity in the market. It's not like it was COVID time, but it's still very, very active.
Yeah, and we had talked about it a little bit earlier before the podcast. Opportunity is out there, even in this market. The opportunity is either there for a buyer or there for a seller. What would you say probably would be the best opportunity, at least in Boca? What I mean, is it a seller's market, buyer's market, balanced? Where are you guys at with that?
Right now, it's pretty balanced. I mean, we are seeing some price chops on some places, but we came out of a very strong seller's market for a period of time, and now we're transitioning into more of a buyer's market where we're seeing that there's more opportunities for some attractive pricing, and we're seeing inventory rise a bit more. So also, we're dealing with a seasonal market. So for about 3 years during COVID and post-COVID, that seasonality went away. We had people that were staying here year-round, were staying through the summers. We're now back into some more normalcy on that side. So from the months of May through October, we get that seasonality where people are leaving, and that creates opportunities for buyers. If you're a seller who listed your home in late April, early May, you don't have as large of a pool of buyers as you did in December, January, February. So it creates more opportunity for buyers. So as a buyer coming into the South Florida market, particularly Boca Raton, you need to look at what months you're looking to buy so that you can kind of time that with some of that seasonality.
Well, we are getting a little bit close on time, and I want to be respectful to your time because I know you're a super busy guy and you've got a lot of people who want your time. So I'm going to frame it out like this. The goal of the podcast, we're here to help agents grow their business. Speak to an agent who may have had a tough end of year in 2024. Maybe they're off to a little bit of a slow start in 2025. What would you say to an agent like that? And then we'll close it out.
So, I mean, like you said earlier, Jamie, there's always a market for somebody. There's a buyer's market, there's a seller's market. Whatever market is out there, there's opportunity for agents. So there's been times in the 14 years I've been doing this where I've been discouraged. But in real estate, it's all about consistency. Whether it's a buyer's market or a seller's market, that means there's a market. So as an agent, you just need to know where to focus your energy, whether it's going out and knocking on doors or getting in front of sellers and contacting expired listings and making cold calls. There's always opportunity to find more business. It's just having that consistency and not getting discouraged. It's very easy to get discouraged and say, I'll do it later or I'll do it tomorrow, like I said with the social media stuff. And then that kind of snowballs into, I don't like what I'm doing. The market is down. I can't make any money here. And then you start looking elsewhere. If you could get through those little humps, I promise you on the other side, there's going to be success because the market shifts so frequently. And If you have the consistency and stay in front of people and put yourself out there, go to events, go to open houses, meet other agents, the more you can do that and put yourself out there, the better you're positioning yourself for success. If you're just sitting around saying, it's a down market, I'm not closing any deals, I don't have any clients right now, that's going to continue to be the trend. It's not going to all of a sudden be one day people are going to pick up the phone and call you. Because if you're not touching them and you're not going out and reaching out to people, they're not going to come reach out to you. So I think consistency is key.
I love that. I'm glad you said that, because absolutely, agents need to focus on consistency. You know, what are you doing every day? Show me your phone and I'll show you your success in this business. You have a phone right there in your pocket. You can easily grab, call the top 50 people that could really make a difference in your business. Or, you know, if you've been in the business for a little while, take a look at your phone and say, hey, man, who would really be a good person to reach out to right now and who could potentially make a difference in my business? So, yeah, guys, I hope that you put in the work, you know, share some of the strategies and take on what Andrew's put out, man, and reach out to your people, but build a business that you're proud of, you know, that's based on relationships and not transactions. And when you do that, you really get into a great groove and you have such a rewarding career, man. So, Andrew, I appreciate your time. My brother, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this. This was great.
Awesome, guys. Well, look, we're going to put Andrew's contact information in the details of the podcast. Go follow him on Instagram, see what he's putting out every day. Go follow us on Instagram, and we'll put some of our contact information in the details of the podcast. And I hope that you guys send this episode to a friend, share it with a friend, text it over to somebody who might be curious about South Florida, who might be living in South Florida, or maybe an agent in that market that really needs some encouragement. But I hope that you guys also give us a great review and give us some love. We're trying to just put out nothing but just encouraging content for realtors to grow their business. So I hope that you guys reach out to both me and Andrew on social media so that we can give you a little encouragement for your business. So guys, I hope that you're enjoying the content, and I hope that you guys have an amazing day.